Towards the end of last spring, beginning of summer, the time frame is a little bit fuzzy, an email came out asking about academic dean for a private K-12 school up in New York. I didn't think about it for myself. Actually, the first person that came to mind was my wife. My wife rocks. And I'm going to be absolutely transparent and honest with you this morning. I had no intentions of ever going over to EU. God called me here to CBC. He called me here to train pastors and preachers. And so EU was really never in my heart. So my wife and I talked for a long time over the year. Well, really from the time that it was announced. And we talked for quite a while. And we came to an agreement that while I certainly wasn't looking anywhere, if an opportunity happened to occur, whether it was for her or for me, we would go. It would have to be the right thing, but we would go. I can honestly stand here and tell you I have not looked anywhere for any opportunities because this is my home. This is my family. You are my family. But for those of you who have sat in my HOM classes, you may recall a very heavy discussion at one point or another during the course of the semester where I shared a not-so-bright moment in ministry and in my family. There was a very difficult time in my life where I was willing to sacrifice my family for ministry. Amanda wasn't born yet, and it was just my wife and I. But I was very much about sacrificing her just for the sake of ministry. Sadly, and to my shame, I even had a pastor offer to annul my marriage. And I actually considered it. Well, my wife, for whatever reason, unknown to me, except perhaps just the overwhelming grace of God, stayed with me. In spite of the hurt and the pain and everything that I caused, she stayed with me. So when this opportunity came for her, I absolutely encouraged her every day. I was like, apply, apply, apply. And she kind of put it off, but when she finally applied, they wanted to talk to her. And so we did a Skype interview in our room here across the street. And unknown to me until right before the interview, I actually knew the pastor. And when he got online, you know, I said, hey, how are you doing and everything? And another discussion started where they offered for me to come as well. I can stand here and I can tell you my immediate words were no. I said, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to leave CBC. I love what I do here. I love the students. I love everything about CBC. This is my heart. This is my passion. And this pastor, a friend of mine, completely backpedaled. He said, okay, not a problem, not a problem. He said, but we still want to talk to your wife. And I said, okay. And we took a trip up there and they talked some more. And I made a decision once again, for ministry over my family. I had the opportunity to go. They actually offered me a job and said, we want you to come, but we will not pressure you. You come when you're ready. And for a multitude of reasons, some noble, some not so noble, I said, no, I'm not ready to come yet. You know, maybe later. Well, you can understand how that may have made my wife feel, given my history, that I chose ministry over her once again. We spent a lot of time talking. Some of the conversations, not so pleasant, but some really good, good heart-to-heart conversations, where I realized what I had done. It was already, the school year was right about to start. And there was really just by this point logistically no way for me to go. Financially, we just couldn't. They couldn't support me at the time. And so I found myself at 4:30 in the morning writing an email that I sent out to some faculty friends and said, if anybody wants to buy my library, I will sell my library. I need to sell my car. And then I didn't say why, but the underlying thing was, I need the money so that I can go join my wife and be where I'm supposed to be. That didn't happen. The library's still up there. Faculty, I have some wonderful books. Students, I have some great books. However, through a series of events, God did something to the place where I actually had to stand back and say, God, it's not just about my decision, but now I realize this really is where you want me. It's probably one of the hardest, most difficult decisions I have ever had to make. CBC changed my life as a student. You have changed my life being here. And yet the right place is with my wife. You heard it yesterday. God first, family second, and then ministry. If you get those priorities out of whack, it's not going to work right. It will not work right. It's not the way God intended it to be. So today's a lot of mixed emotions for me personally. I apologize to you and I ask your forgiveness for it happening this way. But at my core, it's the right thing. And by the way, I just found this out over the weekend. After I had already gone to Dr. Arnett and he graciously said, okay. One of the things that I found out over the weekend, my wife had an opportunity to meet the lady that started this private school. And she started this private school 34 years ago. She actually started it the year my wife was born. So my wife is kind of looking and saying, man, I literally was born for this job. But the neat thing about the story is that this lady that started that school is a CBC alum. And the vision and the mission for that school started while she was here as a student. Blew my mind right out of the water. I'm like, are you kidding me? Something that a CBC student did while their time was here is having an impact 34 years later and having... We're going to get to the word because there's a part of this that I need to share with you and I don't want to get too far ahead. Again, I just want you to know, I love you, CBC. And it has been my greatest joy to be here and to be a part of what we have been doing here. Let's pray. God, we just ask for your presence. In fact, already so thankful for your presence here. And I just ask that over these next few moments together, that you would help me to speak clearly and in the power of your Spirit, and that you would change all of our lives by the truth of your word and by the wonderful power of your presence here today. May your name be exalted and glorified. Amen. Yes, I am going to use notes. I don't think it'd be possible otherwise today. So, but that doesn't excuse you from your current HOM classes. I hope those stick to it. Don't let them use their notes. They can do it. You have proven that time and time and time again. You can preach without notes and it makes a world of difference. So, while this summer there have been a lot of things that have happened, and there was one point during the summer, it all converges on this idea of death. Everything about my summer has really come into this place of death. Early on in the summer, I received an email from one of my aunts, and she's had a huge impact on my life. And one of the things that she said to me, she said, Peter, you know, you're getting ready to get some land. It's going to be split among you and your brother and your sisters, because my mom had passed away prior to my grandparents dying, and my grandfather, in his grace, had actually taken my mom's plot and divided it for us four kids. And she said, but you know, I want you to know, I don't know how things are going to turn out, because one of the things that your brother said, my brother Jason, when he heard that there was going to be an inheritance and that we were named in it, said, man, I'm really happy about that, because that means I'm going to get some money. It's a good thing I'm on the other side of the United States. You know, death has a way of bringing out the worst in us at times. I can't count the number of families that, as I've done funerals and watched how families interact with each other, that there are times where families, you just see the worst in them. When that inheritance time comes, it's a fight for who is going to get what. And sometimes it's the most, in fact, oftentimes, if you really think about it, it's the most ridiculous, insignificant things. But people want to hold on to those temporal things. And they fight over who is going to get what. Death really has a way of bringing out the worst in us sometimes. And yet death also has a way of bringing out the best in us. I saw that with Professor Thomason's family. Absolutely amazing. As they graciously, on the night that he actually passed away and went home, they graciously asked my wife and I to come in the room as part of the family. And we stood there, and for the first time in my life, I stood in a room full of believers. And we read scripture, and we sang songs, and we watched Roger, my dear friend, go home. And I have watched this family, and it has amazed me to watch them through a very difficult time in their lives. Death can bring out the best in people. Complete selflessness. So death really can bring out both the best and the worst in people. And one of the other situations over the summer is that I sat in my office and somebody came in one day, and she had just heard some disturbing news related to the consolidation of CBC, EU, and AGTS. She had tears on her face and she was crying, and she asked me about something that had been announced, and she asked if I had known. And I said, yes, I did know. And she started to talk to me about how on the campus that there were some that were saying and doing things that were hurtful towards one another. The pressure of the consolidation, it's been there. We've all sensed that. For some of us, it's brought out the best in us, and for some of us, it's brought out the worst in us. For some of us, it's done both. I've had discussions that I'm not proud of. I've thought thoughts that I am absolutely not proud of. And as we talked, it was one of those moments where I said something and didn't really realize what I was saying until afterwards. And I said, well, you know, I said, this consolidation, in a way, it's the death of CBC as we know it. And it can bring out the best and the worst in people. I mean, if we're absolutely honest and transparent with ourselves, that's what this is. And how are we going to walk through it? Are we going to be one of the ones where it brings out the worst in us? Or are we going to be one of those where it brings out the best in us? You know, I was so excited to be able to work with Dave Leake. Dave, where are you? Are you here? I was so excited, and I told him this the other day when we were talking about his message, because there was some of the same language in the message that he was working on that I was looking at. Death brings out the best and the worst in people. And why is that? You know, I think it's all tied to one word, hope. Death can bring out the best in us if we have hope. It can bring out the worst of us if we don't have hope or we have misplaced hope. And so I ask if you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. He says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." See, the Thessalonian believers were having a really hard time. Paul didn't have a lot of time with them to establish them solidly in the faith, to be able to discuss all the details about the coming of Christ. I mean, he was able to talk to them a little bit, but he had a very short time there. And so these Thessalonian believers were expecting the soon return of the king. They were expecting it then. And all of a sudden, when some of their own begin to die, they begin to wonder, did we miss it? What's happening here? Why are our own believers, why are they dying off? And they begin to really question what is going on here. And contrary to what some may say, that Paul is rebuking the Thessalonians and trying to really read what Paul says to them. Paul's writing to the Thessalonians as a father to his children with terms of endearment and love and compassion. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed. Don't worry yourselves. Don't miss this. You do not have to grieve as those who do not have hope. Now, a common misunderstanding is he's telling them not to grieve at all, and that's just not the case. Paul isn't saying don't grieve. You know, we have to grieve. If we're talking about the loss of a family member or a friend or a home called CBC, we still grieve. But we don't grieve as people who don't have hope. You see, our hope is not in temporal things, because heaven and earth will pass away. Our hope is not in our leadership. They are mere men, and it is appointed to them death and then judgment. It's appointed to us the same. And our hope is not in CBC. Because you can look at Daniel and see that kingdoms and peoples and nations and institutions come and go. The mission of CBC does not. The mission of CBC is a divine mission to train ministers and missionaries for the great commission to which we have been called, to reach a world that needs Jesus Christ. So our hope is not in these things, the temporal or our leadership or even a place. Rather, our hope is in Jesus Christ and his promised return. You see, because his word will never pass away. His kingdom will not come to an end. His power, his glory, his majesty, they are eternal. And he has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. See, our hope isn't in anything else but in Jesus Christ. We cannot misappropriate our hope, misplace it, put it in a wrong place, in a man or an institution or a location or anything. Our belongings, our hope is only in Jesus Christ, because it is only Jesus who has purchased us. He has bought us. He has redeemed us. And Daniel says that to him is given all glory, all power, all dominion, all majesty, all kingdoms, because his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that will never perish, never pass away. All things will be brought into subjection to him. CBC, EU, Assemblies of God, we will all be brought under subjection to his rule, his reign. Our hope can only be, must only be in Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is Savior to all who will call upon His name. And so we put our hope in Christ and in His promises. His promises that He will build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail. His promise that He will not leave us nor forsake us. His promise that He will bear witness with us as we faithfully, biblically proclaim the Word of God. He has made promises and He has never failed to keep them. Nor will He. So that as we move forward, as David put it the other day, as we move with God, we're going to be ready to face whatever the world throws at us. Doesn't matter where it comes from within the church or from outside the church, we will be ready. And so that we will be ready to find new ways of training ministers and missionaries. See, the mission of CBC does not die with CBC. The call to train pastors, preachers, missionaries, Sunday school teachers, to train people who are equipped to preach and to proclaim the Word of God in any and every context, it does not end here. There will be new ways. There will be new Bible colleges. There will be new Bible institutes. There will be extension places. There will be churches that will rise up and say, we need pastors and preachers, so we will continue this mission that we have been called to do. That's what it's all about. Staying faithful to that call to make disciples, to preach the gospel throughout the world. That's what we've been called to do. That's what we must do. There is no alternative. There is no other option. When you look at the Great Commission, when you look at what Jesus says in Matthew 28, what does He say? He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I own it all, above and here. And what does He do with that authority? He says, go and make disciples. As you live out your lives, as you go about your business, this is what you are to do. You are to make disciples, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you to do. The night before Roger had his heart attack, it was a Sunday night, and he and I were over in the parking lot. He's my hero. He is my absolute hero. And we were sitting there, and underneath the tent, my wife made him a glass of lemonade, and I went over, and we talked for a good hour, hour and a half. We talked a little bit about this. We talked about the consolidation, but we talked about ministry training. And we dreamed together, and we envisioned together, and we thought about the number of possibilities that lie ahead for continuing that call to train ministers and missionaries. Regardless of the context, that's what has to be done. We sat there that night and had a wonderful conversation about it. And we were both just excited about what lie ahead. We get it. We get that this is what this is about. The mission continues on. Death will come. It's inevitable. It'll take those we love. It'll take our family. It'll take our friends. It'll take our home that's CBC. But in the end, death will be swallowed up in victory. And so that's why I can echo Paul's words today and say, death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? Because Jesus Christ, in His death and resurrection, has taken care of it. He has swallowed it up in victory. So that in His death and resurrection, that out of death we experience the resurrection. We experience new life. And everything continues on because, again, he has promised, I will build my church. I will be with you to the very ends of the age. He is our hope. Our hope has a home. Our hope has Jesus Christ. And so I ask you, I implore you, let this hope, your hope, Jesus, let that hope encourage you. Let it strengthen you. Let that hope bring us together as a family. Let us encourage one another with these words. Death is swallowed up in victory. There is no sting. There is no final word, but the word that Jesus himself declares. It is finished. CBC, I love you. I really do. And you are going to change this world. There's no doubt about it. No question about it. Why? Because God's plans and purposes are going to be fulfilled. He has called you. He is equipping you. Every one of you I know could stand up and say, I'm here because this is where God wants me to be. You're here because God has called you here. There are some of you who have joined CBC this year. And I'll be honest, part of me, I was like, I'm being honest. Lord, what are you doing? And yet you're here, not because I can't figure it out, but because God called you here. Watch and see what God will do. Be still before him. Let his power be demonstrated. Let his glory be exalted. Because in the end, it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. He is our hope. He is our inheritance, our future. He is our calling. God's peace, preachers.